Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello!
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me!
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
Cause there's something down there.
Welcome everyone to Red Rebel Radio here on a Friday evening, repeated just before FC Live on a Saturday. Your one-stop shop for football chatter and a bit of politics. Bit of politics now again. And first things first, Swampy, also a bit of Crime Watch. And this week we should start by saying, where's Gary's flag?
Is that a rhetorical question, or do you like me to answer it?
I know where it is. It's in the SMRE.
It is indeed, yes.
But have I missed a meeting? Is it our job to look after that flag?
Well, after reading the comments, I believe that flag needs to be moved back to where it is more appropriately positioned, below the FC commentary team. And as the flag states, we're a right bunch of dicks. I think it would be only fair. However, saying that, if we are a right bunch of dicks, surely you wouldn't want to give a flag that has the words "a right bunch of dicks" on it to a right bunch of dicks, because that right bunch of dicks may well lose the flag
they
allow
up.
Someone else, allow other dicks to put the flag up somewhere else.
But that's not how it works, FC. The flags are it's like any good communist system. It's all handled centrally, and they distribute the flags as they see fit. So we'll get it back.
We will get it back on behalf of Gary. And we must thank Gary for that flag being brought back into the fold, because it disappeared for a little while. And it's funny, because the years it disappeared for, the club was full of a right bunch of dicks.
That's right. And that's, of course, we're referring to the words Richards, nothing else, because we've said that word now far too many times on this show.
There are quite a lot of Richards, and in fairness, there's quite a few Nobs as well.
Yeah, Manx Nobs. And thank you once again to Paul the Pen for donating those Manx Nobs.
Exactly, Ben. So, you see, people think that perhaps, a small swear word on a Twitter feed is disgraceful, and the club should be brought to task, and the code of conduct should come back out again, and whoever did it should be banned for it at least, and flogged, I'd say, flog them.
Just for disclaimer purposes, I would have had no problem retweeting that tweet, but it wasn't me who retweeted it, just to say, wasn't me.
Well, I didn't see the tweets. I don't even know. I know there was a little swear word in there. But apart from that...
The most important thing about that retweet is the content. And out this weekend is the second edition of FC United's very own four fanzine, Top of the World. Welcome
indeed.
Back, Top of the World.
Well, indeed. And it'd be the first one was interesting. Although saying that, I didn't get past the editorial.
Why were you...
But the editorial was fantastic, and I thought it can't get any better, so I decided not to pursue the rest of the fanzine in case it wasn't up to that quality and standard. So I've left it. I've left it at that. I'll probably read the editorial again, and if it's not up to the standard of the last editorial, I'm not going to buy it ever again.
So any more bits of housekeeping before we get to talking about the football? You've been back in the country now since the last show we did. How have you found the return? Because it's been, 2 months since you've been away? I mean, have you noticed the wheels coming off yet?
In fairness, the wheels were never on, were they? We haven't had the wheels on for about 30 years, even with a seven-year a new Labour government. No, the wheels came off. In fact, it reminds me, this government reminds me of, when you go into the supermarket and you get one of those shopping trolleys, and you can guarantee that you're the only person in there with the absolutely one that doesn't go in the right direction. It goes everywhere that you don't want it to go. And it's like it drags you along, and you end up going into aisles that you never would and getting things that you never would, and then realizing everything's massively expensive because the things that you were never going to get in the first place you've now got for some reason. And then halfway round, a wheel actually falls off. So then you're having to prop it up on three wheels and walk round the supermarket with goods that you don't require, those that you have got, hugely overpriced, and basically you get to the checkout, and unfortunately, it's no longer a checkout, it's a border control, and you don't have the right password, the paperwork, and you actually get arrested and sent to prison for the rest of your life.
But enough about FC United, eh?
Hey! That is... The state of this country is about as funny as a little and large comedy Christmas special.
From what year? I used to find it quite funny when I was a kid.
Okay, thanks, Ben. Thanks. No,
you
didn't find it funny. You were put in front of the television and made to laugh by your parents because I know they had cattle prods, and then they used to just basically whack you with one if you didn't laugh.
It was the Irish way, the Salford Irish way.
Of course. I mean, I was branded. I was branded on a regular basis by my father. It's just the way how they roll in Mullingar. So just to let you know, if anyone's interested in the Stockport area, I think this is important information. We're now in August, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And what date are we on?
It's the 10th. 10th of August.
So right. Okay. So from Tuesday of next week, it's green, brown, and blue bins. You know, if you're in a Stockport area, you need to know that. It's green, brown, and blue bins, and then you've got to wait till the 21st for your black bin. So if you've got any waste and any unrecyclable materials, I'm afraid you're going to have to wait till the 21st, and then September comes thick and fast, and you get another opportunity on the 4th. But there's some environmental
proper public service.
Public service broadcasting from the old Swampmeister.
Also, other bits of matters arising regarding Stockport. I did it, Swampy. I went on their message board and I had a look. And they did have a couple of good points. I mean, James Quinn was calling Liam Dickinson Stevenson for the first half. And you did insist on calling O'Halloran O'Hanlon. So, yeah, but just to let everyone know, if you are listening for Stockport, just to make sure that if you don't want to listen, send us your IP addresses and I'll block you. No problem at all.
Well, hold on a second. You know what? That public service I've just done, read the bins in Stockport.
Yeah.
If I'd known that the next segment was being slagged off by Stockport County supporters for saying O'Hanron rather than O'Halloran, then I wouldn't have bothered. In fact, I hope everyone in the Stockport area that is listening to this show, that's taken my advice, those bin times don't apply. And you put your bins out and basically you get fined. That'll serve you right. Or
yeah.
You just basically, your bins are left to stink for weeks and weeks.
That's right.
Listen, I mean, in all fairness, Stockport County fans do listen to the show on occasion. We always come in for a little bit of criticism, which is absolutely fine. And, they had the last laugh because... they won the game quite convincingly.
Quite convincingly. Let's just say the word quite. But just to be fair to our FC Live team here on FC Radio, Swampy didn't have a pre-season and James was very ring rusty, having only played two games in pre-season. So, you know, if I had commentated, would have nailed it. No problem at all.
Yeah, well, you're going to get plenty of experience of that, aren't you, Ben, in September? Because James is away for the all of September, yeah. And it's going to be you and Stato. So I can convincingly say without question that I'll be enjoying Saturday afternoons elsewhere.
Thank you very much. Right, speaking of Saturday afternoons, it's Boston United on Saturday. On the Shindig, we'll have an interview with Tom Greaves, and we also have an interview with Duncan Brown from the Boston Standard, the sports editor of the Boston Standard. To talk about Boston, because both FC United and Boston, Swampy.
FC have had a bad start. Boston have won one, lost one. I mean, that's, you know, they're 3 points off the top. We're 6 points off the top. So it's a six-pointer, isn't it?
yeah, it's a six-pointer in early August. That's
in early August.
But
what's your question anyway? Get on with it.
We're going to find out the injury situation and that kind of thing later this evening. So, unfortunately, you're not going to know. But
that's why you put me on earlier.
Yeah.
You put me on earlier to make an arse of myself.
No, not at all. I'm just setting the scene of what information we have at time of recording. The only information we've got, really, is what happened on Tuesday against Ashton. And You've listened to the post-match interview with Tom Greaves, and one thing that everyone jumped upon was the fitness comment. Tom's right. We do look a bit off it, don't we? Especially against Stockport.
Yeah, the two games I've seen. I mean, and it's interesting. You know, it's the first pre-season that everyone feels it's been a decent pre-season with good quality clubs and good opposition. And it doesn't necessarily matter about the actual result in those games. It's about the manner of the performance and the fitness levels. However, against Stockport County, I thought FC were second best in the fitness stakes, and certainly on Tuesday they were as well. But equally, it was interesting to note that a couple of the York City supporters said that the thing that was telling in their victory against Stockport County was the fitness levels of York compared to Stockport County.
No.
You know, so it's really interesting, isn't it? That, you know, that if you're a full-time club as York are, you expect your fitness levels to be very, very high. Stockport County, they're also trading not all the players, but a number of the players on a Monday and on a Friday, and then they've got the training in between as well. FC are just doing 2 days a week. So what you need to do is your players have to take responsibility and have to get super fit. And I think we are lacking in that, and we need to up our fitness levels very, very quickly, because the one thing in this division, if you give teams time and room and they've got a little bit more fitness than you, they're going to punish you, as Ashton did in the second half. And it was disappointing. It's possibly one of the most lacklustre second half performances from an FC team for a long, long time. There was no real endeavour there. There was no quality. There was a team of individuals, unfortunately, and a team that had no shape at all. And equally, I think from a management perspective, and, you know, it's not having a dig at so early on, but there didn't seem to be a plan B. And you look to your bench to be able to change things around a little bit, perhaps, you know, with 3-1 up, bringing a holding player on like maybe Sam Baird, put him in the midfield or behind the back four. And again, I know Tom did pull out a couple of players from the game against Stockport County, which is, you know, I suppose we agreed with that to a degree, didn't we?
We did, yeah. I mean, Senior and Logan didn't have the best of games against County, and neither did Dempsey, really. I don't necessarily think it's fitness. It's more not being a bit ring rusty, isn't it, really? And you're not going to get any better at that unless you play games.
Well, yeah, I don't think they were ring rusty. I just think they had two bad games. They had, you know, both individual players we've just spoken about had poor games. But the old adage is, really, and the game's coming thick and fast, they have an opportunity to prove themselves in 2 days' time. And perhaps rather than have the panic button hit so early, we're going from a 3-5-2, which has been successful for FC for a while now, is reverting back to that 4-4-2, and the 4-4-2 just basically made us flat all the way through the game. I mean, the first half we were okay. You know, we were up by 3-1, and I think it was maybe a little bit flattering. We got two goals in great succession, and I thought we played some half decent football. But again, for me, I look at shape. You've got to look at the shape of the team. And when the balls are being played, I mean, a good diagonals, yeah, 30 or 40 yard on occasion. But every time there was a pass, it was a pass of up to 10 to 15, maybe 20 yards, rather than close-knit passing. And everyone seemed to be on the same wavelength and know what they were doing. And Tom's going to have to address that with the management team very, very quickly, in my opinion, because there are a lot of good teams in this division. We've got, after tomorrow's game against Boston, we've got Altrincham on Tuesday, who beat Southport and convincingly beat Southport. And then we've got to go to Chester on the Saturday. You and I both watched Chester and commentated on the game against Curzon Ashton on the Monday. And they're a team of shape. I mean, the one example, I think those that were listening to FC Live will remember what I said, but equally, it was very noticeable when FC got a corner, and it was a flat corner. It was defended. Within 13 seconds, Ashton had scored. And they had four or five players all moving up very, very quickly. FC never got back in time. Now, we saw the same thing with Chester. There was a free kick. There was a corner for them. It broke down. By goodness me, every single player. In fact, it was a Curzon. It was a Curzon, wasn't it? A Curzon. No, it was a Chester. Yeah, it was Chester. A Chester corner. And within what, 5 seconds, Ben? 10 seconds?
All back on their own 18-yard line.
Yeah, and defending and the structure they know. And Tom and the new management team. Because let's be honest, they're young. They're very. Well, there's. If the truth's been known, there's no experience at all at management level from them. And in that respect, you know, they're learning week in, week out, and it's a great baptism of fire for them. And I'm sure they learn from every single game. And at the same token, we've got to make sure that they do the job in the right manner, they're professional in everything that they do, which they are. But again, I think, you know, sometimes, and this is my personal opinion, and I said it last season as well, so it wasn't a question of something that is just after two games a knee-jerk reaction. I think the club needs someone with a little bit of experience to help them along. You know, I mean, maybe that even Dave Chadwick, who's been an assistant manager at Salford City, he's worked under Roy Sewell at New Mills, you know, maybe even having his input on a match day perhaps could help, or in training sessions where I know they all will work and talk and discuss. But, you know, I mean, Charlie hasn't got huge experience, but he's got a lot more experience than the lads that are currently there. So I would like to see them try and adopt a policy of being able to maybe utilise the experience of whoever it may be, bring them in and let them help, because I think as a young unit, you need that maybe guidance a little bit, and I think that can only help them. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking for help and support, and that's sometimes the problem with managers. They ask for it when it's too late, and then they don't want it to a certain degree. They fight it, saying, "No, I can do this. I can do this. I get out of it." It doesn't even have to. People don't even have to know if someone comes and helps them. But for me, I think even at this early stage, I think they're going to need a little bit of help. And it'll only benefit them, and it'll benefit the club, and it'll benefit the players.
Ultimately, it was an entertaining game, though, Swamper. And, you know, that's what you want. Yeah, well, unfortunately, we came out on the losing side, but, you know, some decent bits of play in the first half, at least. It's hot and cold, isn't it? Hot and cold.
Well, no, I don't think it is hot and cold, because I don't think we've had a consistent pattern of play. I think it's been cold with and then tepid. a splash of hot water, then go, oh, goodness gracious, the someone's downstairs doing the washing, and the shower's gone cold again. No, I mean, look, Tom knows himself, and the players know themselves. They've been disappointing in the opening two games. All I want to see from them is, I want to see shape. I want to see them working as a unit. I want them moving up and down the pitch as a unit. I want them seeing closing down spaces and not leaving huge gaps and relying on long balls of 45 and 50 yards. If those balls are coming and we are utilising the likes of Dickinson, well, we have to have a couple of players around him. I mean, there's no point in Willoughby being 20 yards away for a knockdown. And, you know, he can do all the work in the world, Willoughby, as he does. And Dickinson, you know, he admits it himself. He nearly hung his boots up this season, but he's given himself another season. Well, he did win a considerable amount of balls in the air on Tuesday, but unfortunately, there's no one that can profit from it. So you've got to, if you play him, got to adapt a system whereby you've got players closer to in the midfield, or closer and further up the pitch. I mean, you know, and then you defend from the front as well. And that's why we were so deep in that second half, and for much of the first half, you know, is the reason that was our undoing, because we came out and we had no plan. We had no way of stopping them. When we made substitutions, it seemed to make it was like for like. However, I would have liked, you know, if you're winning and your opposition score an early goal in the second half, it's time to think, and you think, right, okay, who's defensive minded on the bench that we can use that can shore up the midfield, maybe, or shore up the defence? And that was Sam Baird. Raki, unfortunately, I think we'll look at that game and think that's probably one of the worst games he's had for FC, unfortunately. But again, you know, he's a talisman. He's got you know, experience and quality. And you're hoping that also that the other players with all that experience, like Lynch, like Ole Halloran, and the like, you know, can come in and do a job. But what also has happened now, Tom's got a decision that he's got to make now, because he dropped Sam Baird from the team on from Saturday's game for the Tuesday and brought in Ashworth. We then lose 4-3 at home with Ashworth starting. So is it going to be a chop and change week in, week out now? Or has Tom's got to really sit down and cement a team there, and based upon the abilities and also based upon the quality of their play on them games, he's either got to stick with them or he's got to just let them know how they're going to fit in this season, I think. Because, I was surprised that Baird never started on Tuesday. I didn't think he did a great deal wrong against Stockport County. However, Tom's made the decision, but now he's got to make a decision again, because the centre-half he brought in was part of a team that only lost... conceded one less goal than they did on the Saturday.
It's an interesting dilemma. It's an interesting dilemma that Tom's got. And
it is, Ben. It is, Ben. You're right. It's an interesting dilemma. But I mean, you know, the beauty of being a football manager and a football club that we all have passion and passion for and we love, and we'll get behind them completely 100%. And the good thing is as well, you can speak your mind not only on the radio, but you can speak your mind to the manager and to the players. I mean, you know, they're big, they're strong, like all people love praise and a pat on the back. But equally, players have to be prepared, as management do as well, and nothing wrong with that, to be prepared to take a little bit of constructive criticism, let's say, and opinions will vary on individuals. I do have to say one thing, though, in the defence of Billy Crillin, certain people on message boards absolutely crucifying the goalkeeper, absolutely disgraceful as far as I'm concerned. He is obviously a young lad. He isn't the strongest, the most bulky or anything like that, but what he is a great distributor of the ball. He saved us on many occasions on Tuesday to save our blushes even further. And he's potentially going to be, you know, a very, very, very good goalkeeper playing. You know, he plays for England already, made under-19s. And to someone saying he's tosh and he's bobbins and he's pants and all the rest of it, well, you can maybe look at players over the years that have played internationally and they've got away with it. But it's virtually impossible to get away with as a goalkeeper. It's a position that stands out, and any mistakes are capitalised upon. But I think from a certain quarters, the amount of abuse, I don't know whether it's done for controversial reasons, I'm not quite sure, but not needed. You know, a young lad like that, you know, he hasn't conceded 9 or 13 goals in 3 games. The team have conceded. He saved us from being 13 goals conceded, which possibly could have been 20 goals conceded if he hadn't been in net. So we need to give him full support and get behind him. Good communicator as well, I'm led to believe. You know, he's a good talker on the pitch as well. So get off his back, support him and support the rest of the team. And, you know, that's what we do. Opinions are fine. But when you're telling people are tosh and the rubbish and the crud, a word I've not heard for a long, long time.
Crud?
I just think...
Crud?
Yeah.
What? Is he like a bee or something? Well, crud?
What a load of crud.
Oh, okay. Just to mention about people's taste and that kind of thing, just a mention for the new merch that's arrived at the club shop, the new training tops, polo tops. Some people have said, Swampy, that they don't like the two stripes that's going on down the belly area. I mean, why? I think it looks pretty nifty, if I can use that term.
will you be buying one, Ben?
Me? No, not at all. Yeah. But yeah, I quite like them.
You've answered your own question. Would you wear one? Not a chance.
No. I don't believe you should wear a training top unless you're going to go out training. Which I'm not.
That's a good point. So. Yeah, I have no opinion really, because I've not seen them. But if people don't like them, well, that's fine. Don't buy them. You know, if you like them, buy them. You know, some people liked FC kits in the past. Some people have hated them. So you know, it's football and fashion. There's not many really great, you know, fashion, iconic fashion.
Whoa.
Training tops have the that people, you know, for years to come are going to go, hey, look at this. Oh, yeah. You know.
Look at my...
Who cares?
What is it? Joma, is it called? The training tops that the league insists we all wear, the blue. Oh, they're iconic. No?
No, I think you spelt it slightly wrong there, Ben, but there are something that's similar. Joma. Sounds
Joma,
like that.
Joma. Is it Joma?
Joma. But you know, why are you bringing up football fashion to a fashionista like myself, who you know,
I wanted your advice.
Has worn the FC the worst one we had was the Admiral, not because it was Admiral, but the tracksuit bottoms were like something from about 1974. They were like semi-flare tracksuit bottoms.
Did it not go down well at Woodley Precinct?
The only thing you could do is make him into shorts. But that wasn't a good look. It was because they were shell suit-esque as well fabrics and materials. Oh, but they weren't good. We've had some good stuff and we've had some equally dreadful stuff. And I think going forward, I think perhaps leave it to the professionals from now on. Let them deal with it, because it seems to me that even if you have a winning shirt, it doesn't necessarily have all the things that you wanted, and it just goes to the company and they do it themselves anyway.
And speaking of dreadful taste, Swampy, it's now time for your song to play us out to. I forgot about this last week, that we normally ended with a song. So it's your time to... What's hip and happening in the Swampy household?
Well, at the moment, actually, in fairness, I've been listening to a band called Heilung. H-E-I-L-U-N-G. They are a Danish, Scandinavian, German Viking band. Very melodic, absolutely wonderful. The Kerrang, they won the 2017 live Kerrang show of the year. And also, I'm going to see them in Islington on the 9th of November. I'm getting the train over from Brussels for the evening to watch is a spectacular, and I mean spectacular, show. All dressed in traditional Viking clothing, Viking warriors on stage. I won't suggest that you play any of their music because it's...
I wrote it down and everything.
Well, the shortest song's about 9 minutes, Ben.
No, it's okay. I'll fade it out after a minute. It's fine.
There's two... listen, feel free. There's two albums. The second album is an album which is live, and you can find that on Spotify. And you can choose... let's see. I mean, I can't even pronounce the actual names of the album. But if I can just... If I can just have a look, see if I can do this. You're still there, aren't you?
What? No.
Yeah, you've gone. All right. Ben's no longer there.
Not in anymore.
You're not there.
No.
Right, let me just... I'm just having a quick shufty at play a set list. I'm searching for them now. There we go. Heilung. So we do that. Press that button. And... we'll go for the last track is it's not going to give a flavour of, but go for Harma Hippia.
Harma Hippia. Okay.
H-A-H-A-M-R-E-R, and then the second word is H-I-P-P-Y-E-R.
He used to play for Liverpool, didn't he?
That was Sammy, his cousin.
Oh, right. Well, Swampy,
and he was never happy. But these are a great band. They won't be everyone's taste in any way, shape, or form. But to be honest, Ben, people have had to listen to your music on the show for the last 10 years. So you know, tough.
Well, Swampy, a big thank you for joining us live and direct from Stockport, and a big thank you for coming on. And we'll be hearing from you next for that match against Boston United on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. here on FC Radio. What are we playing?
We're playing Harma Hippia by Heilung, a Nordic Viking band. It also, this album is a live album, and if you want to see it on YouTube and see what they look like and how they perform, go onto YouTube and put in this album, and it is absolutely wonderful. And hope you enjoy it.
Bye, Swampy.
Bye.
This is FCUM Radio, the official radio station for the preservation of the bomb cake.